Fox Footy Live on a Saturday afternoon. Plenty of archival footy coming your way through the rest of the weekend. Dermot Brereton, Mark Robinson, David King and Anthony Hudson with you. And we are joined by Gillon McLachlan, the CEO of the AFL, who's been good enough to join us. He's had a massive couple of weeks, of course, a breakthrough with the pay dispute yesterday. Gil, thanks for joining us. And must be a relief that you've... I know there's a hell of a lot of hard work to come, but at least you've taken that step with the players.
Yeah, thanks, Otto. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. I think just gives everyone a bit of certainty as we map out the journey forward in a period of so much uncertainty.
It felt like the players were copping a fair bit of heat broadly from the public. How were the negotiations behind closed doors, and were you always confident that you'd get to the resolution that you wanted to?
Yeah, I didn't view it as a negotiation. We just had to, Paul and I just had to get to a position to give everyone certainty. And part of that challenge is that things are moving so fast. And part of it is, you know, and I think the players, I understand they've been given a bit of a whack, but it's trying to, you know, it's taken a while for people to understand the gravity of the situation. And I cut them some slack on that front. And I think where they landed there is where we landed, they're shouldering their piece of the burden. Everyone will have a different view on that, but this thing's changed so fast, and I think it's taken some people a while to understand, you know, what's really going on and the scale of it.
So AFL players will take a pay cut of 50% to the end of May, and a pay cut beyond that of up to 70% if games are postponed for longer, and 50% when games are resumed. I guess one of the hard things with it all is the players wanted some idea of some certainty around what would happen post the next couple of months, but no one can really have that certainty. So how did you sort of come to the conclusion that you came to?
Well, that was part of the discussion, Hutto. You know, we couldn't give them the certainty they wanted. We're planning on playing, working towards alternate fixtures, doing all of that work. But when it happens, and whether it's crowds or not, you know, no one knows that. I mean, the government position and the medical advice is changing every day. So, you know, the model in the end kept on getting refined and simplified. So it's, you know, now got a view whether it's, you know, playing or not. And they're the two models, and there was lots of iterations in between, I guess. And in the end, there was too much uncertainty with those, and so we landed where we did.
Do you think, Gil, the perception was that it was all about money, and Paul Marshall, we've got coming up soon, he got on radio and said, no, it's not about money, it's not about money, and I disagreed 100%. It was about money. Do you think the players have lost any hand with the public? And if you believe that, do you think once everything gets right again, that'll be soon forgotten?
You're a better judge than that, me, Rob. What I know is generally our players, they love the game. And now that they, I think, have got a better perspective on how tough our community is doing it, how big a health risk this is for so many people, how many livelihoods been impacted in the community, and you know, how many people have lost jobs and suddenly gone to a very sort of stark place. I think that they're seeing that now and are going to be on board with wherever this takes us.
I actually thought that the AFL Players Association, the AFL, in my dealings with people, were always pretty much in the same paddock. They had a bit to and fro, but both parties wanted to get to a resolution. Did you have time to notice all the bickering going on the edges, like Jeff Kennett saying if they don't take the 80% thing, we'll stand them down, and Lee Matthews, you know, having a criticism at the players, Jack Revolt firing back at Lee Matthews. It was threatening to get pretty sort of unedifying there, I reckon.
Yeah, I try and stay out of all that. I saw a little bit of it, but in the end... I had a good dialogue with Paul, and we had to get to something that worked for everyone. So, I feel where we landed is the players are shouldering their share of the burden, and they're on board for wherever this takes us to continue to do what they need to do to make sure that this game, which is so important to so many and will be increasingly important, I think, in the back end of this year, goes forward and takes its place in the hearts and minds of a lot of people who are going to have a very tough year.
Gil, first of all, congratulations on how you've handled the whole process. I think that we're lucky to have the people at the top of our game that we have. When you look around Australia and how other codes have handled things, I think the AFL have done a great job.
Thank you. Yep.
Can you just
Thank you.
Run me through what would be, at May 31st, what would be the trigger for you to say, OK, we're going to start again in a month's time or whatever that delay would be? Can you just give us an idea of what we're looking for? What would be the advice that would say to you, yep, we can start again?
Well, I think, can you just, we've said there's, you know, three things that are important for us, or things that our priorities. One is the health and safety and well-being of our community, basically. And that links into then, you know, we need to make sure we're showing leadership on that front and everyone's, you know, people observing the social distancing guidelines, stay indoors, washing hands, keeping distance, all that sort of stuff, and leading on that. And that leads then into the player thing, that we would have to have advice that it's now appropriate and safe for our players to be playing. And so, first of all, that's what we'd look to. The second one then is to say, then how does it work logistically and practically, and what is our leadership in the government saying about how they want people to go back to work? So those two things are then we continue to work with the medical advice, continue to work with the government and others, and then obviously look practically and make our own assessments of all of that. So I know that's a bit high level, Kingy, but that's what it's, so we have to continue to have governments, because at some point Australia is going to, you know, has to come back and start moving again, and we'll be in keeping on that, and it'll be health and welfare based, and then, you know, listening to what the government, how they want businesses to go about things. What I do know is we'll be ready when we do, practically, because we'll have a unified playing group, unified clubs, unified industry, where everyone's aligned and they want the best for our community and for all Australians, and then they also want our game of football to go forward.
Gil Durham here. How are you going?
Hold on. Good, Durham. How are you doing?
Excellent, thank you. How many people turn up at AFL headquarters down at Docklands each day?
Now the office is completely closed.
Shut down completely.
Yeah. So we're most businesses now, we're using technology. We have, you know, daily WebEx. You know, I'm on meetings and using, everyone have their different forms with Zoom, or we're using WebEx, and, you know, we're having face contact through our laptops.
Looking forward through the cause and effect syndrome, the effect on the draft coming up for season 10, 2021, the boys that we draft, probably 80% of, you know, draftees come through that TAC Cup. Oh, it might be renamed now. I'm not quite.
NAB
Cup, thank you. That's going to be very difficult to get a sighter on who the next best talent is. Given that when you do come back, will you look at formatting something's different in the way we, even on a pathway of AFL football?
Yeah, there's so much. I got to ask you this. I don't know the answer to that, Durham, about how that will work, because it's looking very unlikely we're going to have any form of community or other football.
Yep.
So really, they're going to rely on past form and what those guys did in their second last year. Really, that's the reality of it. After that, I don't know, because it's a great unknown. What I'm confident about, there'll be a draft, and it'll just be a lot of unexposed form, and it'll be for its own challenges and its opportunities.
Is there a chance? I mean, that the, and I'm looking at the pathway, as you know, I've been quite vocal about it in the past. Is there a chance that the system of that, the NAB Cup, that was devised some 25 years ago, quarter of a century ago, that given that you are back to zero, literally, that you could restructure, remould the way that our football has come through? Is there a chance you, from that zero point, you could restructure it?
Well, what I've talked about is the industry having to be agile and flexible, and it's just not sort of motherly things, because this is a good, perfect example. And whether the draft day changes how it looks, I do think that when people go exposed form versus unexposed form in the draft this year, it's likely they're going to look at, some guys that have been playing VFL, Waffle, Sandfall, or a bit more exposed form, and maybe that we go there a bit organically. I don't know what will happen. I doubt there'll be a change, but I know our industry will have to stay, we'll continue to have to adapt to this extraordinary level of uncertainty.
I don't
see it changing for this year, Derm, but,
Would you even consider making that NAB Cup with the under-18 competition, would you consider pushing it out to an under-19 competition?
Well, it's with Steve Hocking. It's not been raised, is what I'm saying to you. And so I don't want to sort of create a headline that's been contemplated. But agility and flexibility, and what it looks like, will continue to change as the weeks and months go by. The footy department will be looking at all that stuff at the moment. I'm sure combines will be more important and opportunities to really look at players in a different way. But I can't commit to a change age limit, Derm, but I'm sure they'll look at that at some point.
A lot of fine print in the stories this morning and the press release you put out last night, Gil, and I think pretty much close to the most important words I read was that the players were prepared to play late December.
Yep.
You kept saying agile, you kept saying flexibility. Now, we know what happens in late December. It's Christmas time. And it's New Year's Eve and it's Boxing Day. Can you envisage playing the grand final on Christmas Eve? Could you envisage a playing on New Year's Eve? And it was mentioned last night, imagine Boxing Day test, MCG straight into the grand final at Marvel Stadium, called Australia's greatest ever
weekend
day of sport. What do you reckon?
Right. There's a headline there, Robbo, isn't there?
Give us an answer, and I'm sure it's going to be a headline.
We will do whatever we need to, as long as we are prioritising the health and safety of our players and the community, as long as we're leading the right way and we're in sync with where the government wants us to be and where the community expects us to be, and we're doing all of that. We will do whatever we need to do after that.
Gil, that's not a headline.
To get a season away.
That's not a headline. That's your press release answer. Could you see the grand final being played on New Year's Eve or on Boxing Day?
I gave you enough there, Robert. That I know you. You could write McLaughlin doesn't rule out New Year's Eve grand final.
We want that line to be McLaughlin rules in. Rules in.
Robert, McLaughlin can't say no to Robinson on New Year's Eve grand final.
I think it'd be. I mean, just to have a conversation here, Kingy and Derm and Hutto and Gil. Could you imagine that? At the end of this year, we're going to need stuff to really, lighten life. And I think a game on one of the big days like that would just be a no-brainer. And back to the original point that the players said to the AFL that they're prepared to play late December. That was a really great gesture by the players.
Just on that, then, is the MCG unlikely to be the venue for the grand final, given that it'll be cricket season?
Well, again, Hutto, it depends on the timing. So there's still dates that theoretically work to get the grand final away, by, say, second weekend in October. But we're in an incredibly uncertain time, to state the obvious. So if we can't, that's our priority. If we can't, then we'll do whatever we need to get it away. We've got a playing group that, what Mark's saying is, I know they've been given a hard time, but they actually do care deeply and they'll do what they need to do. And so we'll do, as I said, I know we'll do whatever we need to try and get the game away, because I can't imagine not playing unless it's not appropriate. And again, the number one priority is the health of our community. But after that, as long as it's appropriate in that context, we'll do what we need to do.
Gil, can I ask you, you would have crossed this, jumped this hurdle before in conversation with the MCC. How long do they need in a turnaround from the football season to get a pitch ready for first-class cricket, i.e.
About 10 days, 2 weeks. So if we put the first game, I think, is on the third weekend of
October. Well,
so the weekend of the first World T20 game on the MCG, I don't think we could play the weekend before. We could play two weekends before, which gives us 2 weekends after the last weekend in September. That makes sense.
Yep.
Gil, I know you're looking for 17 rounds or the volume of games, the 143 games, I think it is, to go. Is there a bare minimum? Is it effectively 12 rounds or effectively 13 rounds? Is there a point where you say this is now a season?
There's 144 games left, and we think that we have got to continue to focus on delivering on that. It would be a season with integrity, and
at what point
would be some huge challenge. Now, I know your question. At what point, I don't know, but at the moment, we are focused on keeping our players and the whole community happening and leading and reinforcing and being vigilant. That is what we need to keep apart, wash your hands, put to all a safe practice. At some point, it'll pivot that our community needs that we feel that we've flattened the curve and got the health issues under hang. And at some point, we'll be looking to go back to work and we'll focus on 144 games. I can't tell you after that, and I don't want to sort of say at some point I think this and this and this. That's all I can tell you at the moment, King.
Yeah. What's the number? It's a really good question and good answer, Gil, because 144 games to go, say you got it down to 80 games to go, would people think, is that a season? Well, who knows? It's up to the AFL. I think the public has got to start to be conditioned that this season is going to be like no other. But what is the number one criteria of integrity that you the AFL is looking for? What has to be ticked off and say, right, this season's got integrity and this is the reason why?
I don't. What we did was made a decision early to go to 17 rounds because of the integrity. Because hopefully when we get back on the park, the people can now can see everyone's playing each other once and we've got a journey to get those games away. I don't have a line for you after that, Robbo, to say, I think it's this, this and this. It's around, ultimately, we believe in, we've got integrity and a fairness of 17 games. If it's something less than that, then, you know, people know footy. They'll understand whether it's, I think they'll have an instinct about the integrity and the fairness and we'll have to be agile. But our focus at the moment is, again, protection of our community, one, and our players and leading on that. And at the right time, we come back and then it'll be getting 144 games away.
Gil, now the deal's done with the players, are you confident, strongly confident, that the finances of the game overall will survive and indeed that we'll have 18 clubs going forward?
I am, Hutto. It's not without its challenges. And I'm cautious when I talk about money and others, because right now there are so many people in perilous in really tough spots. Yep. So, we're all fortunate to be in this industry and I put it in that context. But this game means a lot to people and we need to protect it, and it's ultimately the responsibility of the clubs and the AFL, people working in the AFL. So I'm determined. I know that we go into this hiatus with 18 clubs, we'll come out with 18 clubs and we will have an industry to go forward with next year again. Industry is a bit corporate, but it is, in the end, it has to fund community football, fund stuff, fund the industry. And I'm absolutely confident, Hutto, that we might look a bit different, but the core structures will be the same. We'll be leading and running big community programs. We'll have 18 teams. We'll have an AFL competition. We're just going to go, we're just going to get through some pain here. We'll come out the other side, and our community football will be as strong, be in the community, in all of our communities like it's always been. And at the elite level, we'll have 18 teams playing best game in the world. We're just going to have to go through some pain to get there.
Yeah, and AFLW, I presume, is still a strong focus.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Gil, what are you doing to ensure your own health and safety and at this difficult time? I know everyone's isolating. Is there different measures that you've taken to ensure your own safety?
Well, I'm taking the advice of the government and the health officials incredibly seriously. So, and I think, I feel I'm very strong on the social distancing. And I just think that's what we've all got to do. I mean, I'm at home, working from home. The times I've been at work, I've been very socially distanced. I'm washing my hands. I'm doing all that.
Are you going with gloves? Are you going with gloves yet? Because I'm not sure
whether you can see.
Mark's got wearing some
surgical gloves.
Some surgical gloves in here. Have you gone to that level just yet?
I'm not at the gloves yet, but I've been working from home. I'm here on my own, so sort of I'm comfortable not wearing gloves on my own.
What?
I think after that, yeah, we've also got to eat okay and try and get some sleep and do what everyone else is doing. I'm good and I think everyone's just got to take this stuff really seriously. That's all I can say.
We are. What's your tipple of choice at home, Gil? You a white or a red or a scotch or a water or an orange juice? What are you relaxing with?
I'm still a bit of a meat and three veg. I'm still drinking beer. So not too many, but I'm certainly having a beer at the end of the day.
Well, the sponsors. Product. Hey, everyone we've spoken to has a basketball ring in the backyard. Have you got one set up at the McLaughlin's? What are you like? I reckon you'd be just about a chance to dunk it without jumping.
Yes. Certainly, I can dunk without jumping at the height it's set up for my 8-year-old son. So there is a basketball ring, and I can dunk it at his height. Yep.
Hey, Gil, we really appreciate your time, and we thank you and wish you all the best for you and your family through this. We're showing a lot of games. We're recalling games. We're digging back into the archives. Is there a game that you'd like to request us to show from the past?
Well, you've done it already. I think you guys did the St Kilda Geelong game from 2009.
Well, that was Channel 7 last night, actually, Gil. Oh, get the networks. Sorry. They were on Fox Footy, Gil. Yeah.
Well, I actually didn't see it. I just got a lot of texts from people. That was the best game of football I think I've been to in my life, that game. And I was down I was in the pocket at the southern end where Michael Gardner took that mark. And I think I'm right in saying he knocked out Harry Taylor in the mark. And if you think about that game, they're both, again, I'm testing my memory because I didn't watch it last night. I think they were both 14-0. It was 50-something thousand. It was just an unbelievable game of footy. And then to come down, he takes the mark, kicks the goal to win by 5 points and knocks the guy out in the park, Mark. That's the best game of footy I've ever seen.
That's the first mistake Gil's made in 2 weeks.
What's that?
Thinking it was on Fox.
I didn't think it was on Fox. I was sort of happy to steal you guys a bit.
We're gonna recall that one, Gil, now. We've got your request down. So thanks for that. Again, best of luck with it all and well done for the handling so far. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for all the support and good luck over the coming weeks.